If you would, open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians chapter 3. We'll try and pick up from our hiatus from our series. We had the Palm Sunday message, then the Easter Sunday message, then the First Sunday Communion message. So now we'll try and get back to our series on the old and the new. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us once again through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, that it illuminates the way, Lord, how your word shows us how to speak, how to live, what to do, what not to do, what to say. It covers it all, Lord. Thank you for your word. We wouldn't know how to live without your word. We would have to figure it out and guess. But your word makes it plain, and we thank you for that. Lord, lead and guide and direct us through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. We need you more today. We need your word today more than ever. Speak to us now, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to receive what your word has to say. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did say Colossians 3 and 1. So before we start that, as usual, family, I'm going to say it because I'm going to say it, right? Thank you, Sister Kathy. We should be reading the Proverbs every day. Hopefully you've read Proverbs 10 before you came. You should have ministered to God before you got here. Amen. Should have had your quiet time with God, where God speaks to your heart personally and you minister to him before you come in. We minister corporately together. That's your own personal time. You need that. You have to have that daily. We have our Proverbs, which replace the horoscope. We don't look to the stars. We look to the one who created the stars. And God leads and guides and directs us so we don't have to get into any of the foolishness and palm readers and all that kind of stuff. That's what the word is for. Amen. So that's daily, family. That's daily. Too much goes on a daily basis, and we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about it as we get into the word today. We need to be seeking, and we need to be believing. Amen? Amen. Going after God daily and believing what his word says, that is one of the toughest things to do. Do we really believe what the word is telling us? And if we do believe it, do we live like we believe it? So I'm going to challenge you all this morning. As I was studying this week and God was challenging me, then I got to challenge you. All right. I was being challenged through the messages I'm preparing it. Like, oh, God, I don't know if I want to say this. But we don't want it to be business as usual. Amen. All right. So for the book of Colossians, we know that chapters 1 and 2, it talks about why we should be committed to Christ. It talks about Christ as the head. It talks about the preeminence of God, of Christ, how he's the head of the church, how he outranks everything else. That's 1 and 2 is why you should sell out to Jesus Christ, because he outranks anything else. Then chapters 3 and 4 talks about the how. It talks about the practicality. So when we get into chapters 3 and 4, we're getting ready to get into 3, and it's telling us how to live. So often those of us who went to school, we know we sat in a classroom, whether you studied business or engineering or whatever, and you would read the book, but then when you got the job, the job was totally different than what they taught you in the book. So that's the difference between theory and practice. So in chapters 3 and 4, Paul gets into the practice. You hear people talking about how to live for God, or you should live for God, but they don't tell you how. Paul leaves nothing to chance. He tells us exactly how to live for God in chapter 3 and 4. So it's the practical 3 and 4. For those of you that take notes, and I would say most of you should be, and all of us should be, amen? You will notice in chapter 3 how we get action words. We get the action words. Paul starts off talking about seeking. We know from our English class that action words are verbs, and verbs are action words. You have to put this thing into practice. So he uses words like seek and set and mortify, put, let, do, all throughout chapter 3. Paul lets us know that we have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. You can't just put it on autopilot. Somebody say, man, you have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. Sunday morning helps. Yes, it does. Wednesday and Sunday, they definitely help. But we have to actively seek Sunday through Sunday. Is Ivy here today? Where'd Ivy go? Okay. I have to check my mic. You have to actively seek God Sunday through Sunday.
Amen.
You really do. You can't take a day off. So in chapter 3, Paul talks about how we can redirect our energies and our feelings. Amen? So think about that. And Chris, cut off the heater. He says we can redirect our energies and our feelings. Through the word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can redirect our energies and our feelings. So I don't have to be angry. I don't have to be upset. I don't have to cuss people out. I don't have to answer that call at 1 in the morning when somebody wants to come by. I can redirect my energies and my feelings through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to live a raggedy life, so it becomes a choice. So whether you say I was born this way, or I was brought up this way, I was raised this way, you can redirect that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus told us in John chapter 3, we can be born again. So we have a choice. We can redirect through the word of God our energies, our feelings. We do not have to be the same. Friday night, we took a detour from our regular Fridays. We went to this. Anybody ever been to the Universal Circus? Universal Circus. Anybody ever been there? Okay, JL's been there. All right. Anybody been to the circus? Anybody ever seen a circus? All right. Anybody ever been in a circus? Okay. Now, there were a few clowns there in addition to the clowns that were there. Amen. There were some clowns there. Yes, there were. Literally and figuratively. But what amazed me with the circus was how through practice, through hours and hours and hours of practice, they made the difficult and the bizarre look easy and common. Through hours and hours and hours of practice, they made the difficult and the bizarre look common and easy. So you and I, we will become what we practice. That's one of the things is, you know, God speaks through every situation. I'm looking, if I put as much time as they put in the circus, if I put that in with God, then I could really live this thing. I mean, you know, they're flying from the top of the ceiling and catching each other. Then this one group, they are in the air with a stack of bowls on the bottom of their feet. And they're throwing one person from this side to that side. The bowls didn't even fall. And the guy's holding her with one hand. And I'm going, okay. Hey, you know, I'm going to try that when I get home, okay? And Jerry and BJ, you guys know we work out. I mean, but man, this is a whole nother level of crazy. How do you do that? And then they get these guys in this little velodrome. It's about the quarter of the way back, and it's in a circle. And four guys get in a motorcycle, and they ride in it without going 60 miles an hour without running into each other. I'm sitting there, you're kidding, right? How do you practice that without dying? You know? How do you practice that without killing yourself? The bizarre and the difficult was looking easy. So you can't tell me I can't live for God. It's, Pastor, it's just too hard out there. No, you'll become what you practice. If you practice living right, you will get good at it. I'm glad you're here, Ivy, because I already checked with you once and you weren't, all right? Trust me, I'll be checking with you a couple of times during this message, all right? The mic is on, Ivy? Can you hear me? All right, amen. Family, we could do this thing. I'm encouraged today because we can do this thing. All right, so let's take a look at 3:1. Says, if you be risen with Christ, seek. You should have seek underlined. Seek those things which you are above. So here's which are above. Can you seek something without doing something? Could I say, well, I was looking for my shoes. I left my shoes in the closet. I was looking for my shoes in the closet. Well, did you find them? No, I just kind of sat on the couch and thought about it all day. Can you seek something without doing something? Amen. And so then as I'm studying this and as you dig a little deeper, then comes up another school of thought. What do we call it? A doctrinal position where some say that you can lose your salvation and others say, no, once you're saved, you're always saved. Then some say, once you accept Christ, you're saved. And then others say right here, if you're not doing anything, then I have to question your salvation. So you just can't say that you're saved because you accepted Christ and you don't do anything. And they try and use a scripture like this, saying if you're risen with Christ, then you should be going after God. Amen. You just can't put it on autopilot and say that you're saved and live raggedy and live any kind of way. And there's no evidence in your life. Amen. There has to be some type of discipline that goes with it. And remember, we don't work to be saved. Salvation is free. It's a free gift. But because we are saved, we should be working for God. And make a note that the reward is in the work. There's a reward for working for God. We could never work to be saved. I'm not saying that because our works without God are like filthy rags. We could never work. We couldn't be that good. But where God would say, you're so good, you're saved. And then we couldn't be that bad where God said, you're so bad, you could never be saved. We know that's not true. None of those extremes are true. But salvation is a free gift. But once we are saved, we should be working for God. And it just comes down, do we want to have the discipline and the courage? Write those two. For those of you who take notes, it takes discipline and courage to be transformed to the image of Christ. So this message today is, God was impressing upon me transformation. How do we begin to look like Christ? So it's about us being transformed, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we know God, Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father. We know that the right hand stands for, it's a positional, it's a position, it's authority, it's power, it's strength. For us, it's salvation, it's justification, all that through Jesus Christ, power, strength, justification, salvation. So Christ sit on the right hand of the Father. And then make a note, how deep are you willing to dig? We talked about it last week. The wise man, he had to dig deep and build his, or the wise person had to dig deep and build their house on the rock. How deep are you willing to dig? How deep are you and I willing to dig to find God? How much time are you willing to research so you can find God? There is a reward in doing the work. In Hebrews, it says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's a reward in the work. The salvation is not in the work, but the reward is in the work. James tells us in the book of James that faith without works is dead. It's just you have to have some type of evidence. we've been going through the Proverbs, so let's turn to Proverbs 2. I want to take you to Proverbs 2 really quickly. 2, 4, and 5, and then Natalie will do Proverbs 8 and 17, but 2, 4, and 5, first. Primero is first in Spanish, amen? That's not an unknown tongue, that was actually Spanish, all right. All right, yes, thank you. Proverbs 2, 4, and 5, it says, this is wisdom saying, if you will seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure. When was the last time you were seeking God as if it was silver and you were searching for God as if it was hidden treasure? Look what it says in verse 5. Then shall you understand, then shall you receive insight on the fear or the respect, the reverence of God, and find the knowledge of God. If you want to find the knowledge of God, as many decisions as we make on a daily basis, why are we still making decisions without asking God first? Now, if you got your mind made up and you don't want to be confused with the facts or the word of God, that's different. You know how the old saying is, I got my mind made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. I don't want to know that. I want to do my own thing. Don't confuse me with the facts, Sister Washington. I got my mind made up. Now, I want to be confused about this. I know what I want to do. But it says, when you seek and you search for silver and hidden treasures, then God gives you the insight in how to respect God, how to reverence God. And then you find the knowledge of God. Look at Proverbs 8 and 17. So I get into Proverbs every day. That's why I'm not have to get into some horoscope. Just it's right here in the Word. God wants to direct your life. God wants to lead. God wants to give you godly wisdom. Pray for godly wisdom with every decision that you have to make. Been working with my youngest daughter, telling her to pray before she takes that test. She's pray that God would give you the wisdom, the insight. Of course, you have to study. Somebody say amen. It helps when you study. God's not going to take the test for you. He ain't going to do it. Okay, God ain't going to take the test for you. God opened the door for the promotion, but you still got to do the work. You got to show yourself worthy. You got to be prepared when they call you in for that interview, but you pray for godly wisdom and favor. It's all right here. God wants to give it to us. It's here. We just don't go after it. Did I say Proverbs 8 and 17?
Yes.
Okay, wisdom is saying, I love them that love me. Amen?
Amen.
Wisdom said, I love. When you come to me like, I just love it. I love you that love. All of you that want wisdom, wisdom is saying, I love you for that. And those that seek me, in that word early in the Hebrew is diligently. So those that really go after me, they're going to find me. All those that's coming after me, I love it. They're diligently coming after me. They're going to find me. No question about it. So let's go back to Colossians 3 and 1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So what are we seeking? Seek it like silver, seek it like gold, seek it like everything else we go after. And then Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first, go after God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is just a word for right living. So seek the kingdom of God and live right. And everything you want is added unto you. Isn't that something? It's all there. It's difficult. See, this is where the theory and the practice comes in. Because it's easy to say it, but the difficult part is when I got to live this thing daily. And the distractions and the frustrations and the temptations. And you're dealing with haters on your job, and you're dealing with haters in your family, and you're dealing with distractions on your job and distractions in your family. Temptations everywhere. And God is saying, keep seeking me. Keep going after me. Don't get caught up in the distraction. Oh, that's tough. Somebody say amen. This is a real walk, boy. I tell you, it's a real walk. It's a real walk. We got to be disciplined, but I know what we practice is how we live. If you practice living right, you'll get good at it. Those of us who played sports, we know that. If you ever played a musical instrument, anything where you had to practice your skill, when you practiced, you got good at it. Yes, we can practice living for God, and yes, we can get good at it. Then here's verse 2. It says, set your affections. Your affection is mind. It always comes back to the mind and the heart. So how do I do it? How do I go after God? Well, number one, you set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's how I start off. So it's a whole new mind shift. It's a paradigm shift. I got to get my, you know what the old folks say, you got to get your mind right. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through this word, you have to be in this word daily to keep your mind right. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So it says, I looked up the, you know, dead. What did it say for dead? For dead, where is my notes? Oh, to put to death. So we got to put to death, all right? For you are put to death and your life is hid with Christ. So our life, we're going to get ready to get into the old and the new, but the old is so hidden in Christ that you're not there anymore. That God's thoughts are slowly becoming your thoughts, and his will is becoming your will. You're so hid with Christ that your friends don't even recognize you anymore, especially your old friends. And they think you're weird, and they think you're strange, and they think you're a Jesus freak, and they think you lost it. That's because you're so hid with Christ. They don't even recognize you anymore. Now you flip that coin, and if they recognize you every time they see you and you're still the same, then that's a problem too. But we should be so far hid with Christ. Remember we talked about it last time in the game. We play hide and seek. We're seeking after God and we should be hid in Christ. That's the hide and seek we should be playing. We should be unrecognizable to the world. Look at John, 1 John. Let's go to 1 John 3. Natalie, let's start 1 John 2:28. It says, now little children, amen? God sees us as little and dear. Now, dear children, abide or hide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It's talking about the second coming. And if we transition beforehand, then we go to him. Amen. It's possible we'll be here when Christ comes back the second time. But it's possible we would have transitioned. And so we go see him. But anyway, when we see him, we want to have confidence and not be ashamed. Because the way we did or didn't live our life. Somebody say amen. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. It's talking evidence. You don't have to guess. It's right or wrong. I was in a classroom of high school seniors going off to college. And I asked them, in today's world, or just in their mind, is there a right and wrong? Right? I was surprised. It was mixed. Yeah, it was mixed. These are your kids going off to college. And that's why we're teaching our kids, because they're going to go off to college and they're going to be with kids who don't even know the difference between right and wrong. That there's a right way to live and a wrong way to live. Or is it just gray? Or whatever is right for you is right. Yeah. The word makes it plain. That's why they want to get rid of this. Because it talks about right and wrong. And you just can't do your own thing. You just can't live any kind of way. Because God is the standard and not other people. All right, so let's go. As I was studying this, I wasn't going to read all of it, but I'm going to read all of it. Natalie, let's go to 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it kneweth not him. Beloved, now are we the sons or the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man or every person that has this hope in him purifieth themselves, even as he is pure. So it's talking about a way to live, living right, living pure through the Holy Spirit. Or because we are saved, we should be living right. Do we have the discipline, the courage, and the desire to even live right? And then number two, do we even believe this? Remember, if we don't believe this, then it is of no consequence to us. It's just words on a page. I had somebody tell me, I don't believe everything that's in the Bible. I believe some stuff, but not everything. See, like this right here, I don't believe that. Man, God understands my heart. God knows me. Nah. And that's why he's saying you need to purify yourself. And then he breaks it down even further in verse 4. Whosoever committed, that word commit means practice. Whoever practiced sin, where it's your lifestyle, it's your way of life, because this is who I am. I refuse to be born again. I'm going to do my own thing, and God understands. Matter of fact, I don't even believe that part. I just believe that God is love. That's all. God loves me, and that's it. But he says, whoever committed sin, whoever practiced sin, you break also the law. For sin is the breaking of the law. Verse 5. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. When we're hid in Christ, we're not sinning. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. He's saying if you're practicing sin, you really don't know God. Don't fool yourself. Cut that lie out right now. I love God. Well, if you love me, you keep my commandments is what the word says. And you're definitely not practicing a life of sin. It's not talking about struggles. We all got struggles. We go up and down. We got this. But we're talking about when your whole lifestyle is just sin. You don't know. As Pastor Manny would say, there is a high cost to low living. It's a high cost to low living. And you can't say when you're out there living raggedy that you know God. And that you're connected to God, you really have to reevaluate your life. Verse 7, children, let no man deceive you. The one that's doing right is righteous. It's just no way around it. Even as God is righteous. Verse 8, if you keep practicing sin, you're of the devil. Oh, I knew I should have stopped before. We done got way too deep. It's a tough word. It is a tough word. It talks about there's different type of virtues. We have our professional virtues where we do our job well and we do it right. We have our eulogy virtues. When we pass away, somebody will say he was a good person. He loved animals. She loved this. They did that. But then there's our spiritual virtues, which would say he was sold out to Jesus Christ. She lived her life for the Lord. It was no question where they stood. Don't get those mixed up. You can't make people saved. Verse 8 breaks it down. We're saying, look, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what you do. Either you belong to the family of God or you belong to the family of the devil. And if you don't know whose family you belong to, then you belong to the devil by default. If you don't know, then your decision's already been made. because you have no atonement for your sins. He that committed sin, verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So now we do have a choice. Somebody say amen. Thank God for Jesus that we do have a choice. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. You're not living a life filled with sin. For God's seed remains in you and you cannot practice it. You'll go home, you'll cry, you'll say, God, I got to do better. God, I'm getting out of this relationship. God, I'm not going to do this anymore. God, I'm so sorry. My heart is broken because I broke your heart. You just can't keep it. You can't keep doing it. You can't practice it. Then you got to deal with something else, but you're not going to practice that anymore. Because we never reach a point where we just put it on autopilot and cruise control and we don't have to worry about it. Never get to that. Your age has nothing to do with it. Your title has nothing to do with it. I wish when you hit the status of pastor, man, it's all good. We don't even have to worry about temptation and sins and frustration and deception and lies. You don't, Brother Gene. When you get to the title of pastor, you're good. Yeah. I don't think so. Hey, when you reach the status of a bishop, all your sins are washed away forever. Amen. You don't even have to worry about sinning no more. You just go through life, man, and just temptations, frustrations roll off your back like water. I don't think so, huh? So for our young folks and those who are not so young, you never get to that point. It's a constant battle. Say verse 9 again. If you're born of God, you do not practice sin. You just can't do it. You get to the point of being sick and tired of sick and tired. And then you start putting things in place so you can live a disciplined life. And you start getting rid of unhealthy relationships. And you start surrounding yourself with people who are fellowshipping with God and who are holding you accountable. Amen. Because you allow yourself to be held accountable. And you're coming to church and you're seeking those who are living right and ask them, how do you do it? How do I handle this? How do I handle that? Because you can't practice. I can't practice that lifestyle anymore. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest. So the word says you'll know them by their fruit. So by your fruit, I'll know who you are and who you aren't. So here it is. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. By your fruit. You hang out with somebody long enough, you'll see where they're leaning towards. Hey, you could meet them in church, but if you hang out with them long enough, you'll see where they're coming from. Let me say that again, Brother Ivy. You can meet them in church and you can hang out with them long enough and you'll know who they are manifested with. It will become obvious. You'll know. What are they practicing? What are they doing? What are they trying to influence you to do? Verse 10 in the middle, it says, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. If you're not living right, you're not doing the right things, then it's hard to say you're part of the family of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Look how he slid that in. You come to church every day, every year. Matter of fact, not just Sunday and Wednesday. You at church every day. But you don't love your brother. You don't love your sister. So you don't love God. You need to cut that out. Where it says, how can you love God whom you've never seen? And you don't even love your brother your brother and sister you see every day. Guys, like, that's not God. You can't be gossiping and backbiting and all this kind of stuff and slandering folks and being mean to folks and say that you love God. Don't work. You don't practice that stuff. Verse 11, for this is a message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Somebody highlight that. Through our ups and downs and our faults and our issues and our struggles, we should love one another. Amen. Those of you who come from a family, you know every family was dysfunctional. So we're not going to even, we don't even say if it was dysfunctional or not, because everyone was. Somebody say amen. Some were just less dysfunctional than others. But, you know, I grew up in a huge family. Well, not too huge. Eight of us, six boys, two girls, mom and dad. And we had our ups and downs, but it was no question that we actually loved one another. Because that's what family does. Through the ups and the downs, didn't agree with everything, but the love was always there. And as we are here as South Bay Abundant Life, we are family, so we know that we're not going to agree with everything. Just come to one of our board meetings and you see Brother John wants to cancel everything. So if we agree with John, we wouldn't have nothing going on. Yeah, cancel that statement, huh? Yeah, I know. He wants to cancel. We would be doing absolutely nothing. Cancel it. Hey, how about we try it? Cancel it. Cancel it. Cancel it. Amen. But the love is there because we're family. And that's okay. What do you think? We're in a broken world dealing with all our flaws. Even in those of us that are married, you know, and then the enemy paints the picture that once you get married, there's no problems and no issues. And you get married and you run into some issues and you want a divorce because you didn't realize that you have to love one another through the ups and the downs. There's no way around that. Then you know, you want to have kids, and then you have kids. Somebody say amen. And then your kids are crazy. You go, oh, my gosh, if I would have known this, I wouldn't have had kids. Somebody say amen. But you got to love them anyway, because that's what God's called us to do. And see, that's not you, J.O., the other two. Not you, J.O., either. Joe, you're the only sane one in the house. I'm so glad you came along, because those other two are something else. Not you. You're not crazy. You know your brother and sister. That's why they out of the house. They had to go. Hey, that's why you're still there. but you're called to love. That's how we reflect Christ, because of the love. We're living right, and you just can't say, I live right, I live right, I live right, and I don't deal with people. See, that's not balanced. You live right, and you love people. And you're compassionate, and you have genuine concern. When we get back to Colossians next week, it's going to tell us how we were once there, but we needed to help, and we were lost, and we needed the love and the care and the concern. So you can tell them by their fruit. Then let's finish with this one, and then we'll pick it up next week. Verse 12, it says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and killed his brother. Can't kill each other. We got to build each other up. In the midst of us living right and seeking God, we got to build each other up. And wherefore he killed him. Why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. As opposed to being disciplined and getting himself together, he chose to kill his brother so he wouldn't be reminded of how wicked he was. That's some serious sin to be in. But it's only natural. I don't want anybody to talk to me when I'm doing my thing. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to hear anything about it. Get away from me. I just don't want to deal with it. I don't even want to see you because I'm doing my thing. And Cain took it to another level, which just showed how evil we all can be when we're so deep into it. So don't be deceived. Let's go back to Colossians 3. Don't be deceived. You're part of one or two families. This is about transformation. Colossians 3:3-4, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life. So you got to make a note now. Is Christ your life? I had to pause. As I was studying this, I had to stop and pause and try and figure out, is Christ really my life? When I evaluate my life, is Christ at the top of the list? Family, that's your homework assignment this week. In addition to everything, your other studying and praying and fasting, you got to ask yourself, is Christ my life? What do I really want out of life? Is it really Christ and all that God has to offer? What is my agenda? What is my hidden agenda? What is my ulterior motive? Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And we'll pick up at verse 5 next week. Amen. Let's take 2 minutes and just finish this service in prayer. As I'm some studying and preparing, and God is talking about the old and the new. He's talking about transformation. Family, hear what God is saying. Here we are. We are in April of 2016. Are we closer to God in 2016 than we were in 2015? Or has 2016, just 3 months, 4 months into it, is it still an extension of 2015? We can't be business as usual. Not with the things of God, not with the world and the culture being so crazy today. You will get lost in the shuffle. You will find yourself leaning more towards the unrighteous side than the righteous side if you're not in the Word daily, if you're not surrounding yourself with good, godly people. So, Lord, we want to thank you for the challenge this morning, not to be business as usual, but to seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And everything that we thought we wanted, everything we were looking for, will be added to us. We know that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So we're just praying right now, Lord. Maybe somebody's here and they say, Pastor, my first step is accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't have the power if I'm not saved. I want to get saved this morning. If that's you, if you've never accepted, or if you're not sure if you're saved, I want to pray with you this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand if you're not sure. Listen, you don't have to leave here not being sure. You can be sure. Maybe you're here, you're saying, Pastor, we're in April and I'm still playing 2015 games. I haven't got serious. I need to get serious. I want to rededicate my life this morning. That's you. And the word says God is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Remember, don't get the message mixed up. The works are not for salvation. That's a free gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace are we saved through faith. But because we are saved, we want to live right and show it and be an example for others to follow us as we follow Christ. But if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life, I need to get back on track, I'd like to pray for you and pray with you. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, I just need a place where it's no games, it's no tricks, it's no gimmicks, it's the word, it's the love, it's the fellowship, it's the worship, it's the praise. Just looking for a place where I can plant my feet and learn about God. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you for today. Thank you that we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of falling short, doing it our own way, deliberately committing sin. God, we want to do better. We don't want to be business as usual. We want to live this thing. We want to make disciples and build your kingdom here. Give us the strength, the courage, and the discipline that we can practice and live this, Lord. We will become what we practice. We'll look more and more like whatever we practice. Thank you in advance for the strength, Lord. Thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Any men that would like to go on the men's retreat, see Brother Gene, sign up. I need at least your name and signature today so we can give them a head count. So think about it. Men, please let me know either way today.